This episode of the Energy Stoners Cafe is sponsored by the Black Arts Matter Network, blackartsmatter.net. Welcome to the Energy Stoners Cafe. My name is Toni Quest, and I'm really happy that you're here. I like to interview the most interesting people I can find on the planet. So grab a cup of coffee, sit down, relax, and listen. You're going to find that these guests are so intriguing, you'll wonder why you didn't know about them before. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Energy Stoners Cafe. I'm always happy when you come. And today I have a fantastic guest. So relax, get yourself something to drink, cup of tea, an adult beverage, and just listen to this guest. She is the best. I love her so much because I've known her for a long time. And I always tell people I probably wouldn't be sitting in this chair so confidently talking to you if it were not for this particular woman. Her name is Lillian Caldwell. She's actually a podcaster herself, and she was doing podcasts before people even knew that they were podcasts. And I was one of her in her stable of hosts. And it was such an honor at the time. And I was such a neophyte. And now here I am. I'm just talking a blue streak. So now she's on my show. And I'm really happy she's here. Lillian Caldwell is also a book author. And she does children's books and she does adult books and she interviews authors herself. But the most recent book that she's written, which I think is kind of apropos to the times that we're in, is a book called Three Angry Ghosts. Now, this is not necessarily something for the nursery, but it's something that is very intriguing and very pertinent and relevant to what is going on right now. And here she is on the show. Lillian, thank you for being on my show. I can hardly believe it.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I'm really delighted to be on, and it's nice to be on the other side of the fence answering questions instead of trying to make them up as I go along.
That's a secret, Lillian. No one's supposed to know that we do that. We prepare, but sometimes you have to when people aren't coming up with the right content. And so you have to make it interesting, and you're a master at that. You really are. I got to say, I learned some things from you. This time, you're on the hot seat, and you wrote this book called Three Angry Ghosts, and I'll tell the audience, I usually don't date the interviews, but we're interviewing on Halloween week, and it seems it's so apropos to be talking about this particular book about ghosts 2 days before Halloween. But what makes it more pertinent, and Lillian's going to expand on this, is that her book is relevant to the pandemic. And so I'm going to let Lillian tell us why these ghosts are angry.
Okay, well, the ghosts contacted me and they said, Lillian, we're angrier than hell because with the pandemic, we've been told we have to wear a mask. And we have to stay 6 feet apart. And worse, we can't touch people anymore. We can't shove them. We can't scratch them. We can't trip them. We can't even give them a good old proper scare. Have you tried scaring boo through a mask? The energy gets stuck in your mouth. And so we're angry. And we want the living to know that we're angry. And because we're so angry, we feel that, especially on the upcoming Halloween holiday, it really restricts us from doing our thing. Just think of all the haunted houses that are going to be out of business. We can't do any hell raising. Toilet paper, people are still trending and still trying to get toilet paper in after the big toilet paper scare. Come on, guys. So as a result, they're angry. And they were talking to some of the other spirits and, of course, demons. You always have a few of those roaming around. And a negotiator from between worlds is going to help the ghosts out. Now, everybody has to understand this book is a satire, what I call a black comedy, that I am making very outrageous comments, certain things that are going on in our society, and I want people to pay attention to what I'm saying, because even though I'm making you laugh about it, at the same time, it's going to make you a little bit unhappy about it. So you have to keep that in mind. And also, one of the other things people ought to keep in mind, too, is that I am basing it on Welsh, Irish, and Italian myths and legends.
Oh, okay. Tell me more about that. Because it's somewhat, I guess, somewhat historically or relevant or culturally relevant.
Well, the thing of the matter is, our culture is a great melting pot. So as a result, our ghosts are a great melting pot as well. And you always hear all the paranormal people say that whatever your behavior of life in life, your behavior is going to be the same in death. So if you're a fiery Italian American in life, you're going to be a fiery Italian dead American in the afterlife.
Okay.
And if you're a rebel rouser and like to drink spirits, chances are when you die, you're going to be a rebel rouser who likes to drink spiritual spirits.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes on from there. And I pretty much, in case you want to know, the genders are both female.
Okay, so they're female ghosts.
They're female ghosts because hell has no fury like a woman.
Why did you use women as ghosts in this case?
Because when I was thinking of it, it's based off of people who I know who are pretty outspoken. And I figured that it's always men ghosts who seem to be portrayed all the time. And I'm getting tired of it.
Getting tired of a Hollywood.
Okay. I'm a woman's liver. I know all about the suffragette movement. I'm pretty sure there are a lot of dead suffragettes running around up there as well. We just haven't met them all. And I think people need to recognize that men aren't the only ones who have all the fun.
Okay. That's good to know from your lips, right? From your lips to God's ears on that one. So these ghosts, I mean, the anger, you know how it is with women. We're not supposed to be angry. We're not really allowed to be angry. You know about that, right?
I know about that. But the thing of the matter is that they are angry. And as a result, they're given 3 days by the negotiators to find a way of how they can continue their spooking without contracting COVID-CD.
That's the part that's so intriguing. I would just like sort of explain that. Like, I mean, it's interesting how you came up with this, but explain the premise of being a ghost and not contracting the virus.
Well, ghosts have to watch out who they shake hands with. They have to watch out who they touch. They have to watch out who they breathe in. Stale air, recyclable energy, and most important, they do have contact with the living. And so they have to figure out a way to continue their contact with the living without compromising their ghostly immunity systems.
Okay, so they have a special immune system, huh?
Yes, they do.
Well, that's something to look forward to when you die.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you have to be careful about what you do, because if you step on a tack, you could, and it's a rusty tack or a rusty nail, you can get lockjaw from it. And can you imagine a ghost with lockjaw?
Well, that just sort of changes my whole idea of ghosts. I thought that they don't catch diseases, but they do. It's interesting that you are able to actually characterize ghosts around the pandemic. That's the thing I find so extraordinarily unique, Lillian. It tells me something about what rolls around in your mind.
the thing of the matter is when you're an author, one of the first questions you're going to ask yourself if you're writing science fiction or fantasy or for even for kids, the universal question is, what if? And then you fill in the blanks. And I know that the COVID virus has already gone on too long for senior citizens. It's really put a lockdown on their activities as opposed to the younger generation who are in their 30s, for example, or 40s. So, and they don't really have a large family like the people who are in their 40s and 30s and 50s. They still have their family. Nobody has really died off yet. So they're in a lot better shape than the seniors who either were living by themselves because they're widows or they've never married, or they're in a cocoon with their significant other, but they can't go anywhere. They can't do anything. There are no activities. They can't go to the libraries. Libraries are still locked down. They're encouraged not to go out to stores or to malls because not everybody is covering their face with a mask or maintaining the 6-foot distance. So a lot of their outside fears have been reduced. So what does that leave them? Well, they stay at home, and if they're good little seniors, they can see out here in the senior community center I live in, you have 10 minutes to visit with your family or friends, but they cannot come inside your house.
Wow. I mean, it's horrible.
We all know colder weather is coming. So that's going to be a lockdown in of itself. So there really isn't too much to do. And the longer I thought about it, the angrier I became. And then I thought, well, what about ghosts and spirits and all the other crew that inhabit the other world? How do they feel about this? And I'm thinking they're probably angry themselves, and they don't know how to handle it. So they need to elect 2 or 3 angry ghosts to represent them and let the living know that they're angrier than hell, and they're going to do something about it. They're not going to let the living rest.
Now, when you characterize these ghosts, okay, I'm just wondering, did their personalities and their characters, as you were writing, you talked about you had like a sort of like a cultural mix with that. You used girls in particular, women in particular, but did these people have particularly interesting lives? Did you talk about like how they became ghosts, like who they were when they were living?
You will find as you read throughout the book who these ghosts are, who they were in real life, how did they wind up in the afterlife, and why these particular ghosts are hanging together.
There is some literary creative license, and I guess the reader is asked, you draw them into sort of embrace whatever the premises you have. You have to believe a certain thing. First, if to really enjoy it, I imagine you have to believe in ghosts, right?
Well, you have to believe in ghosts, but even if you don't believe in ghosts, you know that somewhere out in the world there are people who are angry about what's going on, and they really feel that they have no say in the matter at all or how it should be handled, and that they're frustrated about what they can and cannot do. And so in their frustration, they may do some pretty silly things, or they may do some stupid things, or they may just call attention to themselves in the wrong way. Certainly people have done some very strange things on YouTube and on Facebook that a saner person would say, nope, I don't think that's a real good idea. But at the time it sounds terrific because you're angry and your primitive self is saying, I've got to let these people know that I'm angry and that it's not fair. And if you listen to a lot of people, you don't have to be 69 or 83 or even 101 to say you're angrier than hell. You talk to a lot of the kids under the age of 18, they're furious that they're not in school. Now, that's a black comedy line if I ever heard one. Come on. Those kids are trying to figure out interesting ways to stay home from school, and now most of the kids I meet, they can't wait to get back to school because their wish was granted that they didn't have to go to school. And sometimes when you want something so badly, it doesn't always turn out the way you picture it. Surprise!
Well, that's why they say be careful what you wish for, right?
Exactly. So the kids really got a wish that they've wanted for centuries, and now they have to pay the piper by staying home and being educated.
By their mother.
You never thought you'd turn into your mother at the age of 13, but guess what, folks? You can't hang out with your friends. You can't go out to the mall. When you turn 13, 13 to 18 are mall years. You spend most of your life at the mall hanging out with your friends and doing absolutely nothing. Oh, you walk around occasionally and you drink hip coffee or something like that. But basically, it's a way to get away from doing chores or homework is by going to the mall. You can't even do that anymore. Or if you do, you have to stay 6 feet away from your friends. I mean, what fun is that? You can't hug anybody. You just bump elbows. Really? Well, there's just so much fatter out there to make fun of. I couldn't resist.
So these ghosts, I mean, I know you don't want to reveal too much, and I know that your publisher is trying to keep it under wraps until the book is actually released, but I'm just curious, it's like, who were the ghosts before they were ghosts? I'm very curious to see if there's like a cohesive kind of connection between their afterlife and their living life.
Well, actually, there is. Let me just say this, that the ghosts are representatives of who they were before, which means they were always in the process of evolving from what they were as young adults around 20, 21, and to who they are now. And that they've gone through life's experiences. They have battled men versus women and dating, living alone, being married, having children. They've been through all life's experiences. So you could probably say that these ghosts are more senior citizens than they are young and tender years.
Okay, so they lived a life.
They've lived a life.
So it wasn't like someone who died young. Because usually, I always thought that, you know, ghosts are people that died an untimely death. But what do I know? I'm not a ghost. But maybe I am and I don't know it.
Well, you know, a lot of it is ghosts who have been serial killers, ghosts who died in the home, ghosts who died at a young and tender age, ghosts who have died in sanatoriums. So I think what it really is what kind of ghosts are there. They're the regular run-of-the-mill, born, lived their life, did their earthly things, and for whatever the reason, they're now dead. And they even can't tell you how old they were when they were dead, because even though they can't grow any older than the day they died, they can grow older in their ghostly wisdom.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what fun is it to inherit and be in a realm of the supernatural, at least not grow a little bit from all the experiences you had? What kind of ghost would that be? You'd be an empty ghost.
An empty ghost. Did you do research on the afterlife for this book?
No, a lot of it is stuff that I have read or that I've experienced or I've seen on TV and stuff, and I've done a little bit of research and stuff, but I want it to be the kind of tried and true experience that a senior citizen ghost would acquire over the many years of living and interacting with their fellow man.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've heard that there's an emotionality in the spirit world that actually makes it appear, and they have to find some reason to feel emotional in the spirit world, and that's when they all appear to you. And I just want to say this, is that very often, you know, I'm just in the spirit of Halloween and it creeps me out a little bit because, you know, I don't want to see a ghost right now. I don't want to see one tonight. But I got to say that very often the ghost will appear when they've died an untimely death. But you're saying they just lived a life, and then when they, I guess when they, before they crossed over, they saw things with the pandemic that they didn't like that made them angry. Are they angry at anybody in particular in the current, like, living world? I'm just curious about that.
They're angry at what mankind is, mm-hmm. and what mankind has failed to do and learning its lessons from the past. When I do the black comedy on a lot of things, for example, one of the conversations I have is they're talking about, I do instead of calling it the Ouija board, I call it the living board.
The living board.
And what it shows is scared to death about using the living board because it can bring over anything. Serial killers, murderers, pedophiles, perverted people just as well as good, kindly people. Mm-hmm. And one of the top things you warned about in a Ouija board, don't use it because you can be possessed, attached. You can bring a demon over or worse, a non-entity.
I'm glad I never used a Ouija board.
So, I mean, these are what the paranormal experts tell you. So I'm making a play on the board itself saying, well, if you can bring nasty people from the spiritual world into your living world, well, the dead can bring bad living people over into their world.
Wow.
And so what is worse? I mean, you can always find bad people. People who want to do you harm, whether they're dead or alive, it doesn't really matter. So that when people make those comments about doing certain things and you dabble in the supernatural, just so you know, the dead have that concern about us as the living.
So you have done your research, Lillian. You know more about that than I would have suspected.
Yes, yes. I mean, you have to understand that the living and the dead are polar opposite of each other, but we still are very much alike. We're still human, and we still have the human cares and worries and fears that we had when we were alive. So the dead fear us, the living, as much as the living feared them, the dead.
You made me nervous. Just thinking about it. I don't want to be, I'm not afraid anyway, but I'm just saying, but I respect. Now listen, you've written other books. I'm just going to digress a little bit. You've written other books. You've written a children book called The Anime Mysteries.
Yes.
Anime Mysteries, which was a children's book. And that is very popular, and that's still available as well. Is it not?
Yes, it is.
Okay. How come one get this and tell us about the Anime Mysteries.
The tagline is three sneaker kids or youths find the lost gold treasure of Jefferson Davis. So Anime is an African-American 12-year-old girl. She lives down in Georgia with her brother, who's 9 years old, Malcolm, and her best friend is Raul Garcia. Her mom is a nurse. Her father is a policeman. And her grandmother is, quote, wise woman, which means she deals with spirits.
Okay.
And her friend, Raul, is being raised by his grandparents because his parents work for the government and they didn't come back from their last assignment yet. And nobody knows where they are.
Oh.
And what happens is Anime is 12 and she's a little bit rebellious. She doesn't quite fit in anywhere, and she believes that her father and mother prefer her 9-year-old brother over her because he's very quiet and he does what he's supposed to do. And she's more tomboy than she is girl. And Raul Garcia is in love with her, even though she would never own it, as they say. So what happens is that they want to find something to do. It's the summertime and almost towards the summertime, towards the end of school. And she is doing a class project about the war between the states. Now, people have to understand that the schools in Georgia were segregated on how the students were placed or sat in the classroom. So the ones up front near the board and closest to the door were the wealthy whites. And then came the shareholder kids. Then came the blacks. Then came the orientals. And then came the rest of the class. And it was very class structured, very strictly recognized. And there was a young man called Pitbull, who was one of these kids who was already very tall, and he played football, and dad was owned everything in town type thing. And then you had his clique, and he would pick on anime because she was a black girl, and he could get away with it because everybody was afraid of his father. But the idea was that she became involved with her grandmother, who wanted to teach her some things about the spiritual realm. And she made a pair of what you call water dowsers, but you can also, the people in the paranormal world, use it to find ghosts with. And she made them out of wire hangers. And she went out, and she went out looking, and she found a lot of things in addition to ghosts. It is based on Jefferson Davis borrowing $10 million in gold bullion from France to fight the war between the states, with the understanding that he had to pay the bank back plus interest. And towards the end of the war, he sent the money down in wagons to arrived in Savannah, take ship from Savannah, and sail back to France. The gold never made it. And depending on what story you read, it has disappeared all over Georgia.
Wow. But it's there.
That's pretty much where, and the plantation that's mentioned in the book was a relic of the Civil War, and it's still standing in Georgia today. The family still owns it.
So it's almost like historical fiction and fantasy.
Yes, exactly what it is. I write a lot of historical mysteries or historical fantasy. Now, the second book that was picked up by a publisher is called The Anime Mystery, The Seven Keys of Solomon. And it's based against the myth of Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. And it takes place over in Eurasia.
Where is Eurasia?
Well, they start off going to France, but Anime is kidnapped before off the train. And so Raoul and Malcolm need to go and find her. And so you have that storyline. And also involved with that storyline is the great-grandson of the dethroned Ethiopia emperor, former emperor, kidnapped Anime from the train. And he's in search of the Ark of the Covenant.
So Anime, how old is she in this series?
She's 12 years old.
She's like a little, like, you know, female Harry Potter of color.
Oh, but she's a lot smarter than Harry Potter. And she grows while she's in my series. I mean, she doesn't do anything with magic, but she does use her head and she uses her brain. And that's what distinguishes her from Harry Potter. She doesn't rely on magic to get her out of tight situation.
I appreciate the fact that you use children of color in your books. You put people of color in your books. It speaks to me. And I think it would speak to a lot of my listeners. You know, they'll like that, the anime series, you know, and you make them smart, you make them heroic, like heroines.
I want black girls to understand that they're perfect the way God made them. They don't need to do anything else. Just use their strength and to use the brains that they were born with. You don't need to dumb yourself down. You don't need to wear sexy clothing. You don't need to wear lots of makeup. You're beautiful the way you are. And you're just as good as the boys, if not better.
It's interesting, though, that you give them this persona in which they're heroes. They're heroines. They're heroes. They're smart. They're in charge, you know, and they're curious.
I wanted them to realize, the young lady, that there aren't a lot of books out there with black girls who can pound for pound stand up against any guy. Mm-hmm. And not only that, they don't need to have a boyfriend in order to think. They can think independently. Thank you very much.
So your characters, they have their brain cells are all triggering. That's right. And they're smart. And I think that that's that in itself makes your books noteworthy. And I think that you were doing that before people felt that it was, I want to dare I say, before people felt that it was necessity, before people felt that it was a trend.
I wrote a historical science fiction called Sacred Honor. And the main characters are an African-American young girl, 12 years old, with a black counterpart and her grandmother. And I have a lot of respect for grandmothers. So I'm a grandmother, so you know why I respect them.
Yes.
But the fact of the matter is that at the time I was writing these books, there was nothing out there for black girls to really identify with and to understand that, as far as I'm concerned, they would equal up any guy. And all they have to remember is to be themselves and to like themselves and to love themselves. But bottom line, if you don't like and love yourself, nobody else will. You have to accept who you are. Because if you don't accept yourself, nobody else will accept you either. And that's a really hard lesson for girls to understand. They're always looking to find their recognition and their identity from somebody else.
Girls are stereotyped from the moment that we're born. We're stereotyped.
You're stereotyped. And I want girls, especially girls of color, black girls, Hispanic girls, African girls, I want them to recognize that they're just fine the way they are. If they want to put a little finishing touch on, that's fine. But don't do it with a lot of makeup. Makeup is not going to make you any more popular than you are right now. Don't hit your skirt up so high up your thighs they can look up your legs. You're just fine the way you are. If you're good in sports, then go excel in sports. If you're good in math, excel in math. Don't dumb yourself down so you can hang around with the boys or other girls who may not be smart at you. You're not doing yourself with any favors. If anything, you're doing yourself a disfavor. You're robbing yourself of your potential.
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
And you don't want to do that. You don't get that many chances these days to really shine. So start shining as soon as possible and let everybody see your light.
I think that that's a very good lesson to tell young girls, indeed. I cannot disagree with you. I do agree with you on that. It seems, though, that these days it seems to be a trend, and I think it has to become a trend before it becomes the norm. Smart is the new sexy. I've been saying that for about 20 years, and I wish that I had known that when I was in high school. I wish that the boys in high school had known that about me. Smart is the new sexy. I'm not telling them that they have to be sexy. I'm just saying being smart is a good thing. Doesn't make you less feminine, right?
I think that when you start selling yourself out, you dumb yourself down, you try to become sexy or wear tight-fitting clothing, you're not really making use of who you are. I mean, when I was in high school and junior high, I was bullied and I hated school. I couldn't wait to get out. And when I got out, I found that the kids in school who were the bullies were still bullies when they became adults, and they bullied you because they were insecure. So why speak to their level?
I don't know. I always said bullies always turn into dummies. That's the way I look at it.
Exactly. And so when I talk to girls, I tell them they have to understand and recognize who they are, find what they're good at, realize what they're weak at, and work on everything. And don't let anybody ever tell you that you're stupid, you're dumb, you're not bright enough, gifted in another way that nobody else is, and they're jealous of what you do have because you're a threat to them.
That's right. That's called estrogen.
And you have to understand you're not going to be perfect on everything. I'm not perfect on everything, but I play on strengths. And that's what you have to learn how to do, is to use your strengths to get where you need to go.
Well, I have 1 minute left for our interview, and I want to ask you this question. I just have to know the answer. It's interesting. I'm gonna make an observation. It's interesting to me that I know that you're a mother of son, but you write books with like women as the heroine, girls as the heroine. That's gives me reason to pause in a good way.
Well, I mean, boys are nice, but girls are nicer.
Yeah.
and the fact of the matter was, I was raised in the classics. Do you know there may be maybe two or three books written about girl heroines and everything else with a boy? And I thought of that because I was being asked to identify with a child in the book, and he was a guy. No wonder I turned out to be a tomboy, because there wasn't enough. And if there was a girl in there, she had to be feminine, and she had to be pretty, and she couldn't get dirty. And the list of what you couldn't do, and you had to be virtuous, and you had to find a guy, and you had to be in, and you had to be married by the time you were out of high school, because if you weren't at the age of 24, you were a spinster.
A spinster, an old maid.
Old maid. And where did the term spinster come from? From the ladies who used to spin.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And they were called spinsters. Yes. It was people who spun wool into cloth. They were called spinsters. And then somebody took it and applied it to single women who never married.
Did those women ever marry?
I don't think so. I mean, they had to spin for a living. I'm pretty sure they didn't have enough money to offer as a dowry. So one thing led into another. So, but don't let anybody put a tack on you, ladies, unless they're saying you're smart.
That's right. See that? So listen up, ladies and women and girls. Don't let anybody label you. But I think that's great. And, you know, we're going to do a follow-up interview with you, Lillian, because I know you always have a book in your head.
Oh, yes, I always do. In fact, my agent begs me to stop sending in the pitches because she has way too many of them.
Okay. Well, you know something? We'll have to talk more about this. And then maybe another interview to talk about who's been illustrating your books. And they are illustrated books, everyone. They're really great. And the stories are meaningful, and it's not your run-of-the-mill, like, you know, bedtime story all the time. And I think that if you have children, you know, check out the anime mysteries, because I think that boys should read it as well. I really think that boys should read it as well, because to change their view of what a girl is supposed to be, or how what she's supposed to do, how she's supposed to behave. And always remember that there's something special about a girl that has a brain, a nerd, okay? So how can we actually find out more about your books, Lillian? Where can people get in touch with you?
They can contact me at lillcauldwell@gmail.com.
Got it. Lillian Caldwell at gmail.com. And Caldwell is CAULWELL. And check it out. Check her out. Go online. Google Lillian Caldwell. Lillian Caldwell is the owner of Passionate Internet.
It's now going under the name of Passionate World Talk Radio. The company is called Passionate World Network Radio, LLC.
Passionate World Talk Radio. It's PWTR. You could just put those letters in the search engine and it will come up. And Lillian hosts talk shows of her own. And she has a whole stable of hosts that talk about interesting things on her network. So check her out. And she's an excellent author. And I recommend her books highly. And I recommend that you come back to my show and listen again, because I will have another interesting guest. And thank you, Lillian. I really appreciate you coming on. Please come back to follow up, you know, because I know that there'll be more to talk about. The book is Three Angry Ghosts, soon to be released, and also the Anime Mysteries. Come back again. I'll say goodnight for now. And I'll see you again next time. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the Energy Stoners Cafe.